Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
The Scripture says, baptism does now also save us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Welcome to our study of baptism stands between a sinner and his relationship with God. As we think about different things that baptism stands between, we want to initially again emphasize the importance of baptism in God's plan of salvation. While it is the case that baptism is not the only step in God's plan of salvation, it is essential. Well, the Bible teaches one must hear the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It's essential that I believe in Jesus as God's Son, John chapter 8, verse 24. And there's no doubt that a person must change their life. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, they must repent and turn again. And having made that good confession, Romans 10, verse 10, it is essential, as Jesus taught, for one to believe and be baptized so that he can be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. But in this lesson, we're especially asking, what does baptism stand between? As we have the sinner on one side and God on the other, baptism stands between that relationship with God. And so for initial thoughts, we want to notice that baptism stands between the sinner and being in Christ. Being in Christ is essential, for without Christ, there is no salvation. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, Paul said, I suffer for the elect and for the salvation that is in Christ. And so initially, salvation's in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3 teaches us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so if salvation's in Christ, if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, then we ought to be asking, how does a person get into Christ? And friend, the Bible teaches us that baptism stands between the sinner and being in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, as many of us as were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Romans 6, verse 4, we're buried with Christ in baptism. And so, as we have the sinner outside of Christ, all spiritual blessings and salvation in Christ, to get in there, to get where Christ is, I must be baptized. And so it's essential. Baptism stands between the sinner and being inside of Jesus Christ. Another area that baptism stands between is death to sin. If a person is going to die to sin and no longer live that life, then they must obey God's plan of salvation, and baptism stands in the center of that. Now, we understand that repentance is where we cut off sin in our life. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. That idea of repentance is a changing of the heart that leads to a change in one's life. But it's also at the point of baptism that we die to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Well, Romans 6, 1 through 4 is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that process, likened unto Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, is my death to a life of sin. I no longer live that way, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then I must be buried with Christ in baptism, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And then I will arise out of that to live a life that is pleasing unto God. And so someone says, what does baptism stand between? You can repent all day long, but if you never obey what God says in baptism, you've really not given up that old life. You've not submitted to the will of God, and you've not had the past and all the sin in one's life washed away. Well, there's another area in which baptism stands between, and that is the Christian and the new life. Or someone might ask, how does baptism stand between the Christian and the sinner in the new life and the Christian life? Well, the Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 6 that as we rise out of the waters of baptism, we're to walk in newness of life. without baptism, there is no new life. We're still in a life of sin. We're still standing in condemnation, Romans 8 verse 1, and we're still in allegiance with the devil, whether we like that or not. And so Romans 6 verse 4 teaches, we arise and walk in newness of life. Now here's the good news about Christianity. In Christ, we get a second chance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. Baptism stands between the sinner and having the slate wiped clean so that we can live a new life, get a second chance. Don't all of us really long for that second chance? Don't you want the past to be wiped away, to start afresh, to put all the evil and all the sin behind you? Friend, if so, baptism stands between you and having that slate wiped clean. John 3 verses 3 through 5, Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to get a second chance? You've got to be born again. And that's the idea of the new birth. I'm a born-again child of God in that I've obeyed the gospel. I now have a second chance. I have a new life in Jesus Christ. Well, as we think about baptism and what it stands between, let's also notice that baptism stands between the sinner and contacting the blood of Christ. At what point does a person contact the blood of Jesus Christ? And what we're asking is, at what point does the sacrifice of Jesus, His death, what point is it applied to my life? When does the sacrifice of God's Son touch my sin, wash away my sin, remove that from my life? Well, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that the blood of Jesus Christ is essential to salvation. Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus, as He instituted the Lord's Supper, He took that fruit of the vine and He said, this is my blood of the new covenant shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, there is no sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. God made His Son that once for all sacrifice. Hebrews 10 verse 12 says, this man, Jesus, after He'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And so it's the blood of Jesus. It's the sacrifice of Jesus. Well, how do I contact that sacrifice? Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 tells us, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You cannot, listen carefully, you cannot contact the sacrifice and the soul-saving blood of Jesus without being baptized. You know, Saul's conversion gives us the perfect picture of exactly when we contact the blood of Jesus. If it's the blood of Christ that saves, then I ought to be asking, at what point do I contact the blood of Christ? Well, very simply, at the point of salvation. Whenever God says, my sins have been washed away, that's the moment, the exact moment in time I contact the blood of Jesus. Well, let's think about Saul's conversion. The Lord confronts Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And Saul asked that great question, Acts chapter 9 verse 4, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord says, you go in the city and it'll be told you what you must do. Now let's see what that must was. Acts 22 verse 16, Ananias comes to Saul and says, Saul, Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and listen, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. At exactly what point in time were Saul's sins washed away? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. If it is the blood of Christ that saves, and at baptism, Paul's sins were washed away and he was saved, then, friend, we can know clearly that baptism stands between a sinner and reaching the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Romans 6, verses 3 through 4 teaches? We're buried with Christ in baptism, in which we contact His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And so the blood of Christ can only be contacted, according to Scripture, at the point of baptism. There is no salvation outside of that. Well, as we think about the blood of Christ and salvation, let's think for just a few moments about God's plan of salvation. Maybe today you're asking, okay, you say to yourself, well, I understand the importance of baptism, but is that all there is? Let's think for a few moments about God's five steps in the plan of salvation. First, the Scriptures teach that a person must hear the Word of God. Notice Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, how is hearing essential? Well, I know faith is essential. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, if faith is essential, whatever way I get faith is also essential. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That means that I understand this book, the Word of God, is the only book I need on matters of salvation. It's able to save, Romans 1 verse 16. It has everything I need, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. And by this book and it alone, I can be a godly person, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And so are you listening? Are you hearing the right book, the Word of God? Secondly, the Bible teaches a person must believe that Jesus is God's Son. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch are traveling down the water, or down the road. They come to a certain water, and he says, here's water, what's going to hinder me from being baptized? Do you remember the hindrance? If you believe with all your heart, you may. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. That man believed in Jesus, and he was a candidate to be baptized. Thirdly, then, one must be willing to repent. The Bible teaches, unless we repent, will all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Are you willing to change your will and change your way? Will you change your will to the will of God? And will you stop doing the old things that you used to do? That's what repentance is. Would you make the good confession, as the Ethiopian eunuch did? I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God's fourth step is that a person must make that good confession. Romans 10, verse 10. And would you be baptized in water, so that nothing stands between you and a relationship with God? Remember the crystal clear words of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? What can we do to overcome the sin of killing our own Savior? Peter responded by saying, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is for, it's unto the remission of sins, and it stands between every person and being in a right relationship with God. Won't you today submit to God's plan of salvation? Don't let anything stand between you and being in Christ. Our prayer and our hope is that you will think on these things as we study God's Word together.